You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
We are joined this morning by Ben Fath from the University of Auckland Business School, who has been looking at innovation and collaboration for small and medium-sized businesses. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm pretty well.
That is good. I wanted to kind of start off with asking you, why is innovation so important to small and medium-sized businesses?
Well, I mean, if you look at New Zealand as an economy, it's an economy dominated by small firms, as actually most economies around the globe. However, in New Zealand, by a small firm, we define anything less than 19 employees. So when you compare that to other economies where small and medium-sized enterprises tend to be a lot larger,
right,
up to 250,
you
basically look at an economy that's dominated by micro firms rather than by small firms,
yeah,
so to speak. So innovation is often a key ingredient that those firms need in order to stay competitive.
Okay. So your research says that some small businesses are wary of collaboration. Why is that? Why do small businesses not want to kind of like, yeah, get into that?
Well, I mean, that was a question that we have been struggling with for quite some time. And it's because, I mean, there's a lot of discussion in the public domain around how important collaboration really is.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're operating in a small economy and you've developed a competitive advantage, the fear of losing that edge may outweigh the benefits that you perceive from collaborating with other players.
So you do look at small and medium-sized businesses. What about big businesses? And in contrast, are they more willing to kind of have this collaboration and also look at like innovation?
Well, I mean, if you look at large firms, a key difference would be, first of all, when they collaborate with smaller firms, there's clearly a power
right,
a difference at
yeah,
play. So they're probably less afraid of small players copying a key IP, and then the same could be said if you look at large firm to large firm collaboration, in which you basically get a balance of power, where you have two powerful players who are, while they're wary of each other, are not necessarily afraid, so to speak.
Mm. Yeah. Does money have a big play in whether businesses are more likely to be innovative? Like if they've got more money to spend, does that make them more like willing to collaborate and be innovative?
I mean, we have looked at the amount of R&D spending,
mm-hmm,
and I mean, there's a big discussion around how important R&D spending is in driving innovation. And that's not a discussion that is exclusive to New Zealand. I mean, that's a global discussion. And what our research has basically shown is that the way in which you assemble capabilities to use those the R&D spending is actually much more important than the amount of money that you spend.
Mm.
Well, while this seems pretty intuitive, few people have said that.
Yeah. So let's look at your approach to your research. What was your approach to conducting this research? What did you do?
So what we have done is we've engaged in a large-scale research project focusing on the innovation, growth, and internationalization of small firms within New Zealand. And as part of that research project, we've conducted over 150 CEO interviews and conducted,
wow,
two large-scale surveys, yielding in the ballpark of 2,000 responses each. So it's a very, very significant knowledge core that sits behind those observations.
Mm. Did you have a team involved with this research?
Yes. It's a very large-scale undertaking, and therefore we have always had students involved, but there were also some senior academics, most prominently Professor Hugh Whittaker, who has left to the University of Oxford.
Wow.
So we've also collaborated very closely with the University of Cambridge, from whom we got basically most of the IP. So when we talk about collaboration, we have been collaborating ourselves very, very closely.
So have you been looking at businesses in all different industries?
Well, yes and no. So what we did do, we excluded firms in the primary industries and tourism.
Okay.
Not because there isn't innovation happening in those sectors. We didn't want to say that, but there's a different set of issues if you compare that to manufacturing or business services industries. So that's we didn't want to get these results.
So does the industry that the business is involved in have a major impact on how to be innovative? Like, did you have to take that into consideration? Do different businesses, I suppose, because they specialize in lots of different things?
Well, again, a very interesting question. But if you look at industry effects, what you will find is that the effort that is dedicated towards innovating is, of course, varies greatly. And hence one of the reasons why we excluded primary industries, because normally their engagement in R&D, in innovative activities, tends to be a lot less than in manufacturing industries.
Right.
I think a more important differentiation than the industry is probably what type of innovation firms do actually engage in. Is it something that is new to the company or new to the world? So is it something that companies do in order to catch up, or is it something that they do in order to lead? And of course, most innovation, by definition, will be for catching up.
Mm.
And so, if you look at this separation, of course, there's a big difference between the way in which these innovation come about. And collaboration, of course, a lot more important for leading edge innovation as opposed to catching up.
Yeah. So, if you are somebody from a small to medium-sized business, what can they take away from this research? What can
use? So the core insight from the research we talk about in terms of innovation is certainly that the role of formal training tends to be underappreciated in small firms. So there's a lot of discussion around R&D spending and collaboration. However, in order to be able to take advantage of those activities, it's important to nurture capabilities internally. And this discussion has somewhat come out of fashion, and it has come out of fashion partially because what you can observe is that many small firms engage in training in order to pursue efficiency gains rather than to innovate. But what we have seen in our research quite clearly is that, of course, it's very hard to find a good collaboration partner if you don't have any capabilities yourself.
Right.
So nurturing those capabilities internally is a key recommendation. And what also comes out of it quite clearly is, and we shouldn't be surprised by that, is that CEOs who have received formal training themselves are far more likely to train their employees.
Cool.
So if you look at the whole picture and take a step back, there's an interesting focus also by the government around policy settings, around encouraging R&D spending or encouraging collaboration. But no one really talks about encouraging training, particularly on the senior management level, which seems to be an important driver for firms to create a propensity to A, engage in those two other activities, but also to take advantage of them in terms of innovation output.
So that training is really important. Yeah.
Well, we're at a university, so of course
we
have to say that it's important. But there's some empirical evidence that supports.
So are you still conducting your research? Have you yet?
Yes, it's still ongoing. There's going to be a new survey next year. So we've done two so far, one in 2010, one in 2014. And the next one is due to come out in 2017. So it's still ongoing. It's just the beginning of a very exciting journey.
Do you have any idea of where you'd like to see it, your research go? Or are you just kind of like going with the flow, kind of like seeing what happens, seeing what you get from the research that you have?
Well, I mean, there's a clear pathway. So first you look at how firms basically become more efficient and more innovative within the domestic economy. The next one, of course, is the next step is asking the questions, how does it enable those firms to engage internationally?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a clear a prospect in our research agenda around developing it, around questions of how do New Zealand SMEs connect to other economies. So this work is basically in the pipeline, and hopefully some of it will become visible in the next couple of months. So
brilliant. Really interesting. I mean, I personally can't say I know a lot about business as a whole, so it's really nice to kind of get some insight into the research that you're conducting. And thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. And I wish you all the best with your research as it continues.
Thank you for having me.
Cool, thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.